Who remembers last week's message? Okay, everybody. Yeah, it's one of those you just don't forget, right? It's like, don't you love that when it's something simple, but you'll remember it 10 years from now? Head and shoulders, knees and toes. And head and shoulders, knees and feet. You know, so Jesse was talking about the head. That's Christ. He's the head of the body, which we're the body of Christ. He's our head. And he's the head of all principalities and powers. And the shoulders, the government is on his shoulders. He's got a government of grace now. He judges with righteous judgment, not with, like man judges, but with righteous judgment. Isn't that? He carries his lost sheep on his shoulders. I really like this, Deuteronomy 33:12. The Israelites dwelt between his shoulders. And I never noticed this, but he was saying the hug is so big that we're between his shoulders. He's hugging us. The love of Christ constrains us. And Matthew 23:4, the Pharisees put heavy burdens on their shoulders, but Jesus' burden is light. He actually takes our burdens. And Zechariah 7:11, they refuse to hear and turn their shoulder. And that's good when it's something you're not supposed to hear, but when it's God, you don't turn your shoulder, right? And when it's God, you turn your shoulder back to him, right? So these shoulders, head and shoulders, knees. He talked about the leper who was healed, and there were 10 lepers, and one of them came back to thank Jesus. He fell on the ground and thanked Jesus on his knees. And let the Spirit guide us in prayer. And I really like what JB said too. When we pray, we're entering into a prayer meeting that's already going on. It's going on 24/7. Because Jesus is continually making intercession for us. And we just enter into the prayer meeting that's already going on. That's beautiful. And then our feet, Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful are the feet who bring good news. And so like we go and we tell. And then our walk with God. We walk circumspectly. We walk with God. And so we're sent and we go. And so, it was beautiful fellowship afterwards, wasn't it? I was like, wow. It was like life. Such good fellowship. And I was just going to make some chili for the Richmond group. Just hopefully it was going to be enough. If they maybe some snacks. And then Cindy Fincham got wind of it and jumped in. And I was like, wow. Thank you, Lord. There was so much there when I saw it. I was like, let's just invite everybody. And if it's not enough, it'll be great. And it was great. It was enough. We took 12 baskets of leftover fish and bread back. You know, it was like, of chili. John 4, Jesus' feet. You know, he says he needed to go through Samaria. Well, but it wasn't on the way where he was going. It was like, that's not the way they went. And plus the Samaritans weren't clean. But he needed to go there. So sometimes our feet need to go somewhere that's out of the way. That's not on our way. And it's out of the way on purpose. And his feet took him to somebody very needy. And I was thinking of like, this is our Jerusalem, right? You got Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the end of the earth. So for us, like Richmond is Judea and Samaria. It's not on the way anywhere for me. But it's like good to go. And for them, we're probably out of the way for them. It's not on the way back to Baltimore. It was a detour for them to come here for us. Their feet came here and visited us. And that was beautiful. So this is John 13. Is this thing on? Probably have to turn it on. Uh-oh. You got any batteries for this? Maybe AAA, two AAA batteries? See if that would... Probably should do the manual. How do we do the manual? There we go. We'll get started here. John 13, 3-7. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God. I was just thinking about how Jesus knew some things, right? He knew some things that the disciples didn't know. He knew some things. And we know some things now that I did that manually. You got some batteries? You can click it one over if you would. Yeah. This is what we knew. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus. And that's awesome. We know this. And John 13, verse 4. Oh, good. That's all it was. He rose from... Thank you, Mark. He rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So back in these days, they didn't have sidewalks. Sometimes I watch TV and I see these people, or maybe I'll drive to Northern Virginia, see these people, they don't have any dirt on their shoes. I was looking at my shoes, they're black, and I've got this dirt. I don't know where it came from. I don't even wear them in the yard. I just wear them out of my house to here, and I got dirt on them because we live in the country a little bit here, right? But if you live in the city where there's lots of sidewalks and everything's indoor, you don't have to worry about that. So them to us and us to compared to Bible times. I remember visiting my grandfather's farm. My grandmother would not let me go barefoot anywhere. Cannot go barefoot. It's very bad for you. You can get worms and all kinds of stuff. Whereas at home, I would run barefoot all summer long, you know, and we didn't have farm animals. But back in Jesus' day, they also wore sandals all summer or went barefoot. And then they also had animals that they moved from place to place, and donkeys and things pulling carts that would go to the bathroom on the road. And they'd have to walk, and their feet would get pretty dirty. And the other thing that could happen is they could go to a public bath, get a bath, be perfectly clean, and then walk home and their feet would be filthy. Anybody ever go to the beach and get an outdoor shower, and then you walk upstairs and there's sand all over your feet again? That's nothing compared to what they had to deal with. Verse 6, then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. So what do we understand after that? What did the disciples understand further down the road? Like, they understood the body of Christ. They understood that unity with the head, the shoulders, knees, and toes. They understood the body of Christ. And that actually, when you are washing someone else's feet, so to speak, you're the hands of Christ. You know, it's the body of Christ, and you're washing Jesus' feet. The head is telling you to do it, and he's washing his own feet. They didn't understand that. They didn't understand that he was going to send them out. Like he'll say later that as the Father sent me. And they didn't understand that what their feet were for. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And you got to love Peter, right? he's kind of an impulsive kind of guy, a little bit. And he just says what other people only think. He just says it, boom. And never wash my feet. On one hand, Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? Peter's the one to pipe up. You're the Messiah. Boom. Maybe the others were thinking it, but they dare not say that. Peter says it. You're the Messiah, the Christ. And he says, the Spirit told you that. And then that's on one hand, right? And then on the other hand, Jesus says, I go to suffer and die. And Peter says, oh, no, not so. Jesus isn't very sentimental. He's like, get behind me, Satan. You know, because that's his mission. And also, when the wind and the waves were coming and Jesus was walking on the water, who said, tell me to come? Who had a little faith? Jesus said, oh, you a little faith when it was over, when he sank. But who had that little faith to say, tell me to come? And ask and it will be given to you, right? Isn't that what Steve said? Ask. Who has enough, a little bit of faith to ask? To ask. Ask for it. And but Peter, being who Peter is, he said, you'll never wash my feet, saying what he's thinking. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part in me. So hold that thought, you should never wash my feet. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, my feet only, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he was bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. And when we believe in Jesus, we're clean. We're clean. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. But a holy walk is with our feet. And John 1:9 says, when we confess our sins to him, he forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The context of that is walking in the light. It's walking, it's a walk in the light. And so it deals with our feet. And when we fall into sin, and I'm not saying if we fall into sin, because he who says he has no sin is a liar. When we fall into sin, then we might say something like, don't wash my feet. I'm not worthy for you to wash my feet. And really, I'm not worthy to walk with you. I'm not really worthy to go. I'm not worthy to do what feet do. Verse 11, for he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, it doesn't say, I think he washed Judas's feet too. He washed all their feet. Taking his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So we have an example. And we'll get into what that example entails a little bit more. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. And you can't help but tie being sent to the feet. Because if you're sent, you got to use your feet to go. And figuratively, it might be our car, but that's our feet. That's our walk. And Isaiah 52:7, the feet, how beautiful. Upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news and who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation. If you know these things, blessed are you who if you do them. So I love it when there's a blessing. There's a blessing. One time I was reading and it said, there's a blessing for those who read Revelation. And it was talking about read in the assembly. So we read Revelation. So we want that blessing, right? We want the blessing. And so here's a blessing. You know these things. What things? That you have an example. That you follow Christ's example. To wash one another's feet. And if you do them. So there's a long way between knowing and doing, right? A lot of people know things and they don't do them. Including each one of us probably knows things a lot and we don't do them a lot. Probably know a lot and do them a lot. There's a lot we know we don't do sometimes, right? And so what was Jesus doing when he was washing their feet? He did them, so we need to do them, right? So you know it, and then you do it. Well, one, he was humble. He was not thinking of himself. Not thinking of himself. And a lot of times we get egocentric and it's all about us. And it's like when we wash somebody's feet, maybe it's something we don't like to do. Maybe it's like pulling teeth, but God's telling us to do it anyway. And we do it. Humble. And along with that, not too proud to serve those below him. Serving them and stooping down. That has something to do with knees, probably, right? Probably got it on at least one knee, maybe both knees. Stoop down, head and shoulders, knees and toes. And then he was cleansing them. And so he was an example to serve in such a way as to cleanse. Serve in such a way as to cleanse. And you ever have somebody in your life and God tells you to wash their feet and you just want to put a little pressure on them? Get some wire brush out there and wash them good. Like, really wash them. Like, wash their feet. I'll show them how to clean these things. And but that wasn't the example, right? That's not the example. He probably didn't do that. And how about complain to God while you're washing the feet? Was he washing their feet saying, Father, I don't know why I have, you know. No, he wasn't doing that. Complain to God while you're washing somebody's feet. How about complain to other people? Can you believe they don't deserve to have their feet washed and I'm over here helping them? You know, they've got their feet dirty again. Need to help them again. Now, I wasn't complaining to other people either. And Jesus loved them to the end. And love covers a multitude of sin. And so you're the body and he's the head. So think of that. Like the thoughts from the head about washing feet. And then, without love, it's useless, right? 1 Corinthians 13, without love, what's the point? And he did it with love. So we serve with love. His example, John 13, 1, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And that's the example. And I love coming to this church because I'm loved, right? I love coming here because you guys love me. And I get my feet washed that way. And you ever feel like not coming? Well, suck it up and come anyway. You know? Come get your feet washed anyway. You know? Because you have a portion. You have a portion. Actually, receiving might be something that is you washing somebody else's feet. Because it's better to give than to receive, right? So if you receive from somebody else, you're allowing them to give. And so come anyway. You have a portion. And we can't cleanse on our own efforts, right? But we have the Word. We have the Word. And so we point to the Word. We're like, hey, here's something for you. We got something for you. We point to Christ. We point to the blood that cleanses our conscience in Hebrews 10:22. And so I'll go back to this one. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. I was listening to this song yesterday. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. I don't know how it goes exactly, but something like that. It was very worshipful. Just, he is great. Or how about Chris Tomlin? How great is our God. He is great. God is great and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, right? Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. This is the example for the disciples. Disciples are followers or imitators. We're like, he has an example, we imitate that example. We follow him, right? And all of his examples aren't clear cut. We don't have a culture of washing, literally washing people's feet here, right? But the example, we know how to wash people's feet, right? We know how to serve and bless people that way. We follow Jesus and we're sent by Jesus. The disciples did not know, verse 7, what I am doing you do not understand, but you will know after this. They didn't know about the cross. They didn't know about the body. They didn't know about the bride. He's washing his bride's feet, right? The head wants to wash his bride's feet. The head wants to wash his own body's feet. They didn't know about that. They didn't know about the cross. And this is the chapter before that, that they didn't know about. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, and let him follow me to the death. That's where he was going. And where I am, there my servant will be also. Where is he? What's God doing? Are we there? Are we there? That where I am, there my servant will be also. God might have a call on your life. God might be calling you to do something that you don't necessarily want to do. But if you're his servant, if that's where he is, then you should be there. If he's calling you to be there, you should be there with him. He can raise somebody else up, but if he's calling you, he wants you. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. So serving can take many forms, right? And the outside of the cup doesn't so much matter. The outside of the cup. The inside of the cup. What's inside the cup? And cooking. I was thinking of some people serve by cooking. Lija's mom serves by cooking. She likes to cook. And then also, some people serve by eating. No, actually, it's true. Somebody in the past, if they would buy me dinner, I would be like, okay, next week I'm taking you out. Or no, Dutch, you know, I can't let you buy me dinner. You know? And it's like, that's not letting them serve with food or whatever. Or you cook for me, no, I cook for you. You know, like you got to have tit for tat and you got to keep it all even and equal. Cleaning for others and allowing them to clean for you. Car rides. Money, giving and receiving, visiting people, and actually when they come to visit you, that's hospitality, right? And then how about this one? Serving by taking responsibility. Well, I'll do something once, but I'm not doing it every week, you know? Like, that's a cross. I'll do it one time, but you want me to do it every week? That's a cross. That's serving when you have a have to do it every week or once a month or whatever. That's serving or taking responsibility. And then probably the biggest one, or here's taking responsibility, but also giving responsibility. So as children are our arrows in our quiver, right? But at some point we take them out and shoot them, right? And we give them responsibility. That's scary. You know, we don't want to do that. But that can be a cross for us to do that, to let go. But the biggest one, I would say, would probably be on your knees praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit, washing someone else's feet on your knees, head and shoulders, knees and toes. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. Sending has to do with feet. It has to do with feet. We go. And they didn't know. They didn't know they were going, because this was chapter 13, but in chapter 20, John's version of the Great Commission happens, and he says, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. So he sent them. He sent them, and then they were to wash each other's feet. And most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. That's profound. Do we receive who he sends? One time I was in Richmond, and God gave me this incredible word for this bum. And then this bum gave this incredible word to me. I was like, whoa. Like, receive who he sends. You know, receive who he sends. And we can learn to receive. And we'll talk about like a gift. You don't have to be so independent. And somebody tried to buy you dinner and you're like, no. You got to say no at least 3 times. And in Romania, they have this thing. To be polite, I guess their mamas taught them, you say no 3 times before you accept it. So then that means they really want you to eat. So politely they say, would you like to eat? And you say, no thanks. And then they might not ask you again. They were just being polite. And then if they ask you again, they're being a little bit more polite. And then you say, no thanks. And then they might not ask you again. They were just being polite. And then finally the 3rd time you can accept. So these French people who were missionaries in Romania were over there, and they had this barbecue with chicken and everything. And Pastor Michal had been playing soccer all morning, hadn't eaten breakfast or lunch, was famished, comes up to the cookout, and they say, you want something to eat? And he said, no, thank you. And he said, okay. We have to learn how to receive. But that was just a cultural thing. But really, sometimes we have that. We have a pride we don't want to receive, right? A pride thing. And in the same chapter, further down, it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples. You're his imitators or followers. Everybody will know. Why? Because he loved us. And if you have love one for another. Now, if you note here that if you don't have one for another, it doesn't mean that you're not saved or you're going to hell. It means that other people won't know. Because it says, that's how everybody knows. Some people like to try to quote that and say, well, they're obviously not saved. Well, I don't know if they're saved or not. If they cried out to Jesus and begged forgiveness of their sins, they might be saved. But if you want other people to know you're saved, that this is how they know it. And sometimes I think this church, it has body life. There's a fellowship here. We love each other, right? And in the Baltimore church too. I walk in there, I feel loved. I feel loved. I feel loved here. I know you guys are Christians. I know we're Christians. And other people know it too. And that's what, I guess Jesse was talking about, love bonds, remember? And above all, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. He was talking about love bonds. And before that, it says, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So part of loving is to forgive, even as Christ forgave us. to do that, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Verse 36, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you? Now, why can I not follow you now? We're an instant society. We got our phone. Click now. Want it now. Deliver it tomorrow, Amazon. I want Prime. You know, we want to watch a movie. We want to watch it now. It's like we're like programmed for that almost. But they were the same way back then. If they had, they just didn't have the technology we have or the ability, but they still wanted it now too. And we always have. People are the same. And he wanted it to, he said, Lord, why can I not follow you now? And like, if we had our own way, wouldn't everybody here say, okay, when I receive Christ, boom, I have a glorified body and I'm in heaven. And I'm not in this fallen world. I don't have to deal with the stuff in this world, right? But it says God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth. You know, like his ways are so high that we don't understand it. Like we want to be glorified now. But we have to wait to be glorified. And we have him in it as an example. And we follow. We follow. And he sent us. Like the Father sent him, he sent us. And 34. You shall follow me afterward. We're going to follow him. We know this, right? We know we're going to follow him. It actually says comfort one another with words like that. He's going to come for us. You know, he's gone to prepare a place for us, and he's coming back. And when we die, be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And we know our position. We know where we're going. Knowing the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that's to be revealed. We know that too. We know our position. And that's why we can have a cross and follow God with Jesus with his example. That's why we can stoop. That's why we can have humility. Because we see Jesus. He had humility and he came to earth as a man. And then God glorified him. And it says, if we serve him, he will honor us. There is a blessing in this. There is a blessing in this. And we have an example. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for your example, Lord. We don't understand everything. We don't understand anything. Show us, Lord. Show us in your spirit your ways that are higher than our ways, your thoughts that are higher than our thoughts, Lord. Show us, Lord. Show us that victory belongs to Jesus. And it's not the victory as man thinks. There's a victory that's higher. And if there's anybody here today who's never received Jesus as their Savior, the Bible says, call upon the Lord and you shall be saved. Call out to Jesus. Say, Jesus, save me. I believe what you did on the cross. I believe you died to pay for my sins. I believe you rose again. I want to walk with you. And just bless us as we go, Lord. Help us to love each other and help us to receive love also. In Jesus' name, amen.